You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 7:58 a.m. Next up, we have more talk radio with Cecil and Celeste.
Good morning. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. 90.7 here in the Portland metropolitan area, 91.9 at all points east along the Columbia River Gorge, in the Willamette River Valley, you know the deal, 104.3, and everywhere else it's KBOO.FM. Welcome, good morning. Another, let's not call it a gray day, let's call it a pearl gray day, okay? Why the distinction, Celeste? I mean, you still said gray. I heard you. The distinction is that a pearl is lustrous and it is a wondrous gift that occurs because an irritation has occurred, but the mollusk, you know, the clam, the oyster, has figured it out, and it has coated the irritation with something that then turns that irritation into a thing of value. You know, if coal becomes a diamond under pressure, a pearl comes about because of irritation and the entity's ability to cope with it. So I'm going to wax metaphorical, y'all.
Okay.
How does that work? Does that work?
You know, at 8 a.m. on a pearly gray morning, it works well for me.
Good, because that was straight off the dome.
All right. Hey, this is,
you know,
this is More Talk Radio, and I am Cecil, right?
And I am Celeste, and you are welcome to be here. We're glad you're here and sharing in this pearl gray day, so to speak. What to talk about? Well, we put out invitations, and We had a couple of folks, you know, they're going to chat with their various boards and you know, executive directors and watch to see if they can talk. And I guess part of it is because everybody's trying to keep up, you know, and they're trying to, okay, I'm going to hit the theme song again, figure it out, you know, what's going on. So we haven't heard from a few of them in time to have the conversations that we hope to bring you, but we haven't given up. We're still working on them because we think that these conversations are important. Yeah,
they are, and we will have them for you. But in the meantime, we thought that this would be an opportunity for you to participate in our morning conversation. And, you know, Celeste, I never thought I would hear it, but, you know, evidently the Trump legal team has found someone with a conspiracy theory that's even more crazy than they had, and they had to say, this attorney is not representing us. So how crazy are things?
That just had me cracking up. First, you know, the media is not being kind to Rudy. And it's not like he deserves kindness, you know. And I have been reluctant to castigate and curse and, you know, otherwise, you know, curse out the whole Trump shenanigans, because I fear that I would fall down to their level. And so I just do, you know, the old black folks from the South kind of thing, like,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, bless their hearts.
Exactly.
Because I'm not getting caught in that trap of, you know, of besmirching them. I feel like it's a trap. And I know a lot of people say, I don't care, I'm going to talk bad about them. You know, and you know, you do you. But when I read that, I said, well, I hope that's the beginning of the fall of the House of Usher. And yes, I said Usher. I did not say Usher, because I'm just taking it there. I'm just taking it there, you know. But the House of Usher has taken us with it, though, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when it gets so strange that someone is even crazier than Rudy Giuliani. And Mr. Giuliani, you know, have to say, we are the representatives of the president and not this person who has even a more even stranger conspiracy theory than we have. It's like, oh, gosh, wake me up from this.
Well, I'm not sure that the wake up is going to be better. And watch this segue, Cecil. Watch this, okay? I'm not sure it's going to be better because, as one of my friends said, here we go again, okay? Look at Biden's cabinet choices. It's getting kind of scurry out here because Biden's picking his cabinet. And some of those that bomb brown people under Obama are in the potential cabinet. Now, I'm gonna be up front. My friend who said this is one of my white progressive friends. And between us, when we have our conversations, we take no prisoners. You know, we're not happy with somebody, we'll call it out, you know. And he really tries to be honestly woke, and when I think he's not being woke, I'll take him on, and when he thinks that I'm not being woke, he'll take me on. So, you know, this is not one of those people who is just going to sit by and idly watch things happen. One of my black friends who is also very political has this whole issue. He says, oh, yeah, the capitalist elite chose Biden. What did I tell you? You know, so it's like my friends are they try to be woke. But when this one sent me this message, I had to forward this to Cecil to say, ouch, because I wasn't so sure that this friend was wrong. you know, and I'm not the only one that's made this comment. So we're not quite sure what we're waking up to.
Well, certainly what we have being unveiled, and it certainly shouldn't be a surprise in terms of President-elect Biden as being part of the establishment, and therefore the people he would choose would also be part of the establishment. One thing that I think is different and why things aren't the same in terms of Mr. Trump sort of destroyed the U.S. main alliances, and so the choices that Mr. Biden has made, Mr. Blinken as Secretary of State and Lyndon Thomas Greenfield will tend to seek to reestablish U.S. Relationships with traditional allies in terms of building up the so-called global alliances. Now, whether or not you think that's a good idea or not, or whether or not you affirm the way in which Mr. Trump destroyed traditional alliances or something else, is a question that we could entertain questions for. Our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. Is that it?
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
You got it. I mean, we have had our share of Monday gremlins already because, you know, our esteemed and beloved engineer Ty was saying, hey, we couldn't get the last few minutes of Democracy Now, you know. So, you know, welcome to Monday and Monday's gremlins. But nonetheless, right. The phone number, 503-231-8187 for conversation. Now, you know, we usually come double loaded in our barrels. You know, I have a conversation part two. And I also meant to say a conversation part E also. So here's another topic that we wanted to entertain if you don't want to talk about Biden. So it goes like this. You know, I wrote a song about it. It sounds something like this. Y'all want to hear it. Who's going home for Thanksgiving, COVID or not, and why?
Mm-hmm.
And no judgments here. No judgments. Because the only reason I'm not going is because I don't know what's out there. I mean, you know, having had a medical background, I understand at least some of the explanation for the transmission of this disease, but they also say, you know, we're still not 100% sure. And I don't want to catch anything on the way because I would drive. You know, just pure and simple. I understand hand washing techniques, you know, and everything, and I take as much of precautions as I can, but we still have a lot of gaps in our understanding. And then I went through the whole thing, and I got there in my mind, and I said, and then what if one of my nephews has something, because kids always catch things. Excuse me, and they are asymptomatic carrier, and I catch something from them that then predisposes me to catch COVID lingering in the air as I stop for gasoline or at the fast food joints on my way back. And I thought, no, I think I'm going to sit my behind right up here in Oregon. But some people are going home for various reasons, and actually, even though, you know, we're asked not to for the greater good of the greater amount of us, some people see a much greater value in going home and seeing families or connecting with families wherever they are. And so no judgment. I'm just curious, you going home or not? And if you and if you're going home or going to family, you're traveling over the Thanksgiving and holiday season, tell us why. I just want to hear. I'm just curious. That's all it is. Like I said, no judgment. we're not going to argue with you. Probably the deepest I'm going to go is, are you going to wear a mask? Are you going to wash your hands? Okay. Because I see the looks on people's faces, and I've come to some conclusions, and I'm curious.
Well, you know, one thing that I heard about this holiday, one suggestion, because this is somewhat related to our first item, is that because we are such a very politically divided and society, that maybe it's a good thing not to be with relatives this Thanksgiving, and you can use the COVID as an excuse, because who would want a Thanksgiving dinner where there is so much strong arguments, and so maybe for a more peaceful Thanksgiving, you don't have to see your relatives, and you can use the excuse or the permission of wanting to remain safe and healthy. But that, you know, this could be a time, you know, Thanksgiving is a time when people gather with families and friends, and as Celeste suggested, that they are people who are longing to be there and are willing to take the risk. Are you willing to take the risk? And if so, why? And if you're not, why not? Our numbers again are positive.
Well, if you're not, go ahead.
No,
our number?
Repeat the numbers, yeah.
503-231-8187. There we go.
I'm sorry, interrupted. And if you're not,
no, that's all right.
We have a caller.
Well, I was going to say, if you're not going home, you don't really have to call, because we kind of got it. You know, I'm just more curious about those that are going. But we have a caller already, so let's get to it.
Barth.
Here on your Community Connection, KBLO. Good morning.
Barth. Good morning, folks. Always happy to talk to you. Good conversation, good questions and issues. Home for Thanksgiving. My folks are gone. You know, I'm getting old myself, but we have some family here in town, and one is a 21-year-old who's living kind of rough out on the streets. He's been a street kid for a while, and now he's a street young adult, and he would like to come over and see a few family members and get a good meal and all that. And all right. Frankly, I'd love to see him, but I can't let him in the house. You know, my wife has got health issues, and we're both, you know, 65 plus. And so it's really, really painful to say no. You know, I sympathize with people who want to go and see family. You know, everybody's pretty drained by the politics and the economy and all of the issues that we're living with every day. And you think, you know, gee, I'd like to go see my family. I'd like to be in a nest of warmth and caring, or, you know, at least snipe with my uncle, or however it usually goes. But it can't be a good idea for most people, and the reasons are pretty clear. So I'm wishing everybody a good holiday. I'm wishing everybody good choices, and I'm wishing everybody good health, but I think staying closer to home is the better bet.
And it's so difficult, as you suggested, when you want to be with people you love. And, you know, I don't know. The weather's supposed to be somewhat raining on Thanksgiving here in Portland. So even if you ate outside or passed the meal to this person outside or looked through a window, maybe you can find some ways to connect with the, not the traditional way, but stay healthy and maybe there'll be a holiday or time soon that you can gather together with your loved ones safely.
We all got to hope so. Thanks for your talk, and keep it up. Good day.
All righty. Thank you for your call.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend yesterday who mentioned that she was wanted to have folks over, and what she's going to do, you know, is try to have them outside or, you know, in the rain. And it's really difficult when you want to be with folks and you can't.
This is what we need, our families and our connections to our community even more. You know, as I've said before, if you, it's like failure to thrive right now for many people because they don't have those connections that build up your immunity. And we need our immunity and we need those connections for our sanity. And so I feel for him. I mean, if he had a porch, I would like feed my child on the porch and stand in the doorway and say, you know, here you go, baby. Here's some food. I love you. You know, our choices have made the situation what they are, and the choices other people have made for us have made it what it is. But I love you, and here's some warm food, and this is what we got, but let's work it. You know, but at the same time, I don't know their situation, and I can't fault them. And like I said, no judgment. This is one of those situations where I'm just like, just tell me your story, and I just want to hear it.
Right. Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. How is your Thanksgiving or your holidays? What are your plans for your holidays this year? Are you visiting folks? Or are you gathering together around a table? Are you here in Oregon? Let me get the governor's directives correct. No more than two households with six people.
and that formula in and of itself has me cracking up. I know that Oregon has undergone a change in how they compute infection rates based on the fact that they're now going to start counting all of the tests. And I'm one of those people, for example, that's had the test three times. And so, you know, I skew the numbers, and I've come up negative two of the times and undetermined one of the times. And so, you know, I can appreciate that she's looking at some type of computation to come to that, you know, decision. But it still sounds arbitrary to many people. It does. Sounds like voodoo economics to others.
Yeah, and it is somewhat arbitrary. Only and if you see it as a strict rule, which I guess in the state of Oregon it is, but also as a guideline, just general. The general, I think, that people agree upon is that you should maintain physical distance. You shouldn't be around people who are outside of your pod.
Are we whales now?
Well, yeah.
I'm so irreverent these days.
But it's just, you know, it's just keeping safe and keeping others safe. For me, that's the issue. It's, you know, you may think that you are okay and you don't care, but the impact you have on other people and people you may not even know, it develops from there. So it has an effect that we may not even be aware of in terms of, and we just know by the hospital rates right now and how hospitals all over, urban and rural areas, are being overrun by people, and it's really very difficult times. And one person, what is it, one person is being infected every minute or something like that. Over 200 and almost 260,000 U.S. citizens have died. It's really bad.
It is very difficult. Yeah.
I just got a text just now from a friend who I told them that I would not, you know, I wouldn't be able to attend, you know, what we thought was a very carefully planned Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, yeah, I was going to do a group text to you and the other, because I've been reflecting whether Thanksgiving was a good idea. And even outside, and the recent steep rise in case has concerned me too. But he said, this morning I heard a report on NPR say, and I'm calling it the quote of the week is, quote, better to have a Zoom Thanksgiving than an ICU Christmas.
So. I can't even argue with that. I can't. So give us a call. Tell us what you think. You know, you could talk about your reasons for going to see family for Thanksgiving during these COVID closed down. Or you could talk about, you know, your thoughts on Biden's cabinet selection, you know, and whether you think you are waking up from a dream to a better reality or not.
We have Brian on the line.
503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller.
Brian.
Good morning,
yeah, hi.
Brian.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning. I'm sorry if I repeat something, because I haven't been able to listen to much of the show this morning, but I did listen to enough to hear Celeste say, no judgments, you know, everybody's got to make up their mind about, you know, their own behavior at Thanksgiving. And I really appreciate that, Celeste, but sorry I ain't with you. I do feel comfortable making a judgment and saying that people should just hold back, you know, was it stand back, stand by? No, just not do it. I mean,
yeah.
In previous generations, people have sacrificed so much, in fact, their whole life, you know, gone to battle, all that stuff, and we can't just hold off 1 year and not see friends and family. I mean, it seems pretty pathetic to me. And it's the message you're putting out when you make that. It's a message like wearing a mask, you know, really crazy things that have become politicized. But it's just the right thing to do. And the other comment is about, Celeste, you said, what have we become, whales? And I say, if we were so lucky. I mean, whales are
yeah.
so much more wise than human beings. We are showing our true colors as animals. We are nowhere near the top. We are so stupid. But sorry, that's just my feeling about things, and I hope I didn't repeat anything because I missed some of the show.
Hey, no.
But thank you for having it.
Hey,
you are right on point, Brian. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Celeste said no judgment, and, you know, I was very silent because... yeah, I'm with Brian. I'm judging. But, you know, I'll give you the space to share your perspective. And, but also to get back to, you know, the other thing, not only Thanksgiving, the other point we mentioned in terms of Biden's selection for cabinet. This is one observation I had, and just came to me.
Uh-huh.
It seems with the Biden nomination, of Linda Thomas Greenfield as the ambassador to the UN, I'm
uh-huh.
wondering, is the UN slot becoming pigeonholed for women of color?
You know, that's a good point. Go ahead.
President Obama's U.S. ambassador was a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
Who was rumored to be, you know, Secretary of State, but apparently not. Mr. Trump's ambassador to the UN was a woman of color, and Mr. Biden's selection is a woman of color.
Well, I can see reasons why somebody might pick that, but I'm worried about it becoming a trope. And no, yeah. I'm not going to go deep and say magical colored person. I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to say an expectation that a woman of color might have a more expansive perspective. Now, that's a good thing to have, but it still can become a trope. You know?
York is on the line.
Good morning, York. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, I like a lot of people, I'm bummed that I'm not going home for Thanksgiving, but I'm making the most of it. I'm lining up all my TV shows and my snacky foods. How are you doing?
Very well. I agree completely with Brian, what he just said, that I do think that it is just, it's important that we, you know, make these relatively small sacrifices for the greater good. But I wanted to talk mostly about Biden's cabinet and say that, you know, his picks so far have been, you know, a little up, little down, nothing to be unexpected. But I think it's important that we think about, say, FDR. When he came into office, he was not much of a progressive, but he felt a lot of pressure and managed to, you know, swing pretty far left and create a lot of amazing programs. And that I think that that's what is the key right now, is that we keep pressure on Biden to move more progressively, despite who is in there and who he nominates for different offices or appoints to different offices, that we still can maintain the pressure. I think that was part of what went wrong with Obama, is that we all kind of sat back and said, oh, good, we can rest and take things easy and he'll take care of everything. Mm-hmm. And we didn't keep the pressure up enough.
Right.
Yes. And again, I think with FDR, that was what a lot of his success is, that he had so much public pressure to go those ways, and that's what we really need to be focusing on now, is keeping the pressure on Biden.
I totally agree. I agree with your analysis. One of the things that I think is really important, and that's what we said before, and I don't think it was, I think we allowed ourselves, like you said, with Obama to become complacent, is putting a pressure on. Now, I know Andrew Yang has been considered for a cabinet post. I hope that he follows through. Biden follows through, because I think Mr. Yang has some great economic and tech visions, economic ideas and tech visions. And just given the fact that we're sitting up here trying to determine whether or not we're going to have a second stimulus check speaks to the truth of Mr. Yang's idea of a universal income. So let's just see what happens. But I think we really need some pressure, because our time right now is just as urgent as it was with FDR coming into a decade-long depression.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I agree. And I'm not all that familiar with most of Biden's picks so far. I've just seen, you know, little snippets here and there. I do understand that he's vetting an Indian American woman, Native American woman, for Secretary of the Interior, which is, I think, a wonderful 180 from what Trump was doing, of appointing boxes to guard the hen house in every one of these positions. So at least that seems like a great move. I've heard other people criticized others of his appointments being criticized for being, you know, a little too inside and you know, lobbyists and people like that, but. Like you said, we have to just see, and I think that he's going to be, Biden will be far more open to pressure from the left than Trump was. So
definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I think it's a bright day, and I think we just need to, we have more opportunity now than we certainly have in a long time, and I think we just need to do our part and maintain our democratic pressure and principles, and we stand a better chance of succeeding now than we have for a while. So.
More
well, thank you for your call. And
you're
the call.
Uh
huh. The call is to remain vigilant and diligent. You know, do not sit down here and rest. I mean, look at the fact that we're still battling even now just to get votes certified. Oh, speaking of votes certified, did you see it when that brother lit into the woman who was trying to get Detroit excised from the state so that she could certify votes? And he said, shame on you. I just, you know, that made me feel good. That's one of the few times when I kind of, you know, went there with one of those Trump folks. It's like, yeah, shame on you. Shut up, you know.
Right, but, exactly. So, yeah, I appreciate those who continue to put on the pressure, and the caller mentioned possible nominees. You mentioned Andrew Yang. The caller mentioned the U.S. Congressperson that Native American that President-elect Biden is considering for Interior Secretary. Also, another person that has been suggested as Secretary of Interior is also Native American, but had served as an undersecretary of the Department of Interior. So some had argued that he has more, I don't want to say training, more managing background in terms of managing that large department as opposed to the Native American, the other person that is speculated. But we'll see. The fact that the president-elect has said he wants a cabinet that's representative of the American people allow us to not only hope, but as the call suggested, to continue the pressure on. So give us a call about your thoughts about the president who should be nominated in the cabinet. Is the president-elect doing a good job or not? Do you have suggestions? And a second point of interest is the holidays coming up this week. Are you going to be with family and or friends, or are you doing your patriotic duty?
We have Joe
and by saying I will not. But in the meantime, let's see what I believe Joe is on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Cecil, Celeste. I was going to kind of comment on something that the previous caller brought up. When we think back to FDR and the remarkable, like, historic programs that emerged under his administration, it, I think, blinds us to history when we talk about pressure from the left on an administration, because the left in that time was fighting over control over society and the economy, not over the government and its prerogatives, and that it was as a way of stifling that mass uprising against the whole capitalist society, that they threw out these programs to try and create confidence in the way that the business and owning classes had already structured society, saying, okay, look, we can make this work. And that it's really scary hearing in the lead up to the election, Democrats and Joe Biden in particular, kind of taking up the reactionary watchwords of, like, you know, the left needs to back off, these people, there's, you know, bad people on both sides or something like that.
Right.
And ginning up with the police as much as possible by like trying to kind of let them know that, you know, we're going to talk a good game, but, you know, we're going to make sure that nothing fundamentally changes, which I believe Joe Biden has been quoted as saying to some of his richer donors. And that going forward, our our orientation should remain on the community organizations that have been building over the last year and years for that matter, and not putting our hope in these structures that fail us generation in and generation out.
Right.
And that's all, that's my only comment.
Well, Joe, you know, one thing, a couple of things that you said that helped me was in terms of the historical analysis you made in terms of what happened leading up to the Roosevelt administration and in it. One was the continued action of those on the left, on the outside, and as you so accurately reminded us in terms of it was a actual battle for the soul of America between those on the left and those who wanted to preserve the capitalist system, and that even though there was some movement for social equality in the Roosevelt administration, it wasn't because of the good graces of those in the ruling class. It was a means by which they protected and saved the system that they had built. The second thing that I thought might be helpful that you said was in terms of your analysis of the what the Biden administration is saying and doing. And what we noticed not even before the last ballot was counted was the narrative that the progressives caused the House Democrat seats in the House of Representatives and was the reason why the Democrats did not win the U.S. Senate. We must continue to resist that narrative, and as you suggested, continue the important work of just not being sucked into the machine, but continue to battle the machine and from the outside continue the important work of what I think is the destroying the machine and creating another world. But those are only my thoughts. Your thoughts are important. Give us a call at 503-231-8187. And if you are thoughts about the Biden administration and also thoughts about the holiday season, will you have a Zoom Thanksgiving so you will not have an ICU Christmas?
I love the way you said that. You know, wow. I mean, you know, that sums it up for many people. But I did hear a comment to, well, I'm not going to play devil's advocate because, you know, I'm not going to visit my family, you know, for all the reasons we've said. But, you know, it was said, well, I'm of that age where I want to see him one more time because I'm not sure I'm going to survive another year. And hearing that, I could totally understand this person's rationale. I have to raise the Spock eyebrow though and say, well, you know, you don't know if you're going to cause more problems than you intend to. I mean, you know, God willing, and the creek don't rise, you could live easily another bunch of years. But if you go down there or you go over there or whatever, you know, the direction is, and you cause somebody to catch and suffer from COVID, it's for sure somebody's not going to have a good holiday. And so I look at it from that perspective, you know. But like I said, for the purposes of the phone call, this is a no judgment zone, and I'm just curious if somebody wants to go home. You know, I want to hear why. And I guess my reason for wanting to hear why is to try to understand the human condition, to understand how people think, and you know, how they come to these conclusions, you know, what their values are. It helps me understand people more when I'm trying to negotiate or, you know, converse or whatever, you know, just to understand a little broader the human mindset. And so that's why it's a judgment-free zone. And for some people, this is distressing. You know, they're not going to make it without their family and their community. And so, you know, they can't love the one they're with. They want to be with the ones they love. You know, they can't love the ones that they love through Zoom. You know, they have to be within reach. They need that tactile connection, that touch. And I can appreciate that. You know, I'm one of these failure to thrive babies right now because I'm locked up away from my family and my friends, and so I can appreciate it. You know, I can appreciate it.
We have John on the line.
Well, let's go to our caller on the line. John. Good morning, caller.
Oh,
good morning,
hello.
John.
People first have to understand we're creatures of habit, and because we're creatures of habit, we're really susceptible to conditioning. And so I see some of this as a cross between or a mixture of selfishness and being scared. Being scared, we'll just wish it away. That's why you're having some of these states, I would call them, refuse to go along. Well, they know what's going on, sort of, but they're just scared. They want to just, wish it away. The same way that some of these Trump supporters, they vote for Trump because they're conditioned. And so they're conditioned to the whole thing, whether it be racism or, you know, the guy talks tough. But I have a nephew who was coming in from Baltimore. At the last 48 hours now, he's stopped. You know, he just saw all the newsreels, the lobbies of the, you know, of the airports full. He's not going into that pit. But that's how I look at it. It's just between selfishness and being scared. I know that's a weird combination, but, you know, the United States culture is all driven by, you know, material wealth, and it's also driven by me, 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 me. So right. In a nutshell, that's just my opinion. I'm not a psychiatrist or whatever, but one other thing before I go, I'm not going to say happy, but belated 57th anniversary of the JFK assassination, which happened yesterday. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Okay, thanks for your call, John. You know, I can see here.
Yeah, that's a good analysis that John made in terms of his combination.
I think it's apt, and I agree that we're a very conditioned populace. I mean, you know, one way I can see how insular and conditioned and programmed we are is we don't consume nearly as much of the world news as the rest of the world does, and so we don't know what's going on in the rest of the world, not really. And sometimes when I check in to what's going on overseas and in other countries, the fact that they're having so many floods and you know, problems with economy and food and everything like that, and we don't really hear about that. Yeah, I can see why we're so insular, you know.
Mark, related to that is the fact that, you know, I don't think we've really worked through the fact that we are living in a once-in-a-century event that we have had no preparation for and no way of dealing with it. We're figuring it out as we go along. So, you know, I think if anyone who's profiting will profit from this or will get a lot of work in future years or those who will give us wisdom, psychiatrists and psychologists, I think your job is secured. But in the meantime, let's go to
Mark,
our next caller.
Good morning,
Mark.
Good morning, and thank you for years and years of great and thought-provoking programming. One
well,
comment
for
I
listening.
Wanted to make.
Appreciate you.
Oh, well, that goes both ways. One comment I wanted to make about holding our representatives accountable and keeping the pressure on is I understand the need for that, but what I have trouble with and would love your opinions on is why are we voting for people with the expectation that they won't follow through and that we have to keep the pressure on, or why are we voting for people that don't represent our interests and we need to put the pressure on? It seems like every election cycle we vote for people we don't really want, and the result is they don't do what we really hope that they would do, and I think it's our fault for putting those people in power.
Well, let me put it to you this way. This is a weird dance. We don't always get the people that we think are the best held up as the candidates. For example, I would have preferred to have Stacey Abrams as vice president. You know, Kamala Harris, though in the perception of many, who is more polished, more connected, has more experience, was who was chosen. I felt that Stacey more reflected the changes that we need without coming into the mix with a, how can I put this, a spotted record. There are those who feel that Kamala was much too eager to put away people in prison without taking consideration a broader idea of who they were and what incarcerating this person actually would mean to their community. So there it is. But as far as pressure, we need pressure. We, as human beings, as a species, we don't work well without pressure. A psychiatrist, a psychologist would call it eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S, which is a good form of stress that we need to keep us focused and on task and on mission. And if you've ever made a what do they call those things you do for New Year's? Oh, resolution to change anything. You must keep yourself under pressure. Some people say for at least 21 times consecutively performing that positive act. And so, you know, by human nature, I'm going to keep everybody under pressure. I need people to keep me under pressure, you know, especially times now. So I'm not so perturbed about that. I'm more perturbed about the fact that the system does not favor those who are not as connected and high profile. What about you, Cecil? I don't hear you. What happened?
Oh, because I have to unmute myself. That helps. So I think your analysis is correct. And the fact of the matter is that the system is there to support and raise up those who will undergird the system. And it's just a reminder what some of our earlier callers said in terms of the need, the necessity of continued pressuring, and observing, being aware of what we can and cannot expect. That doesn't mean we give up hope. It doesn't mean we give up the struggle. But it means that we can be realistic, yet hold on to our values and our dreams, because our values and our dreams, I believe, are the things which empower us to press on when things become difficult. Let us, you know, remind ourselves of our ancestors, of those who struggle in times before us. Remember, they had a vision of what the world could be like. And for all of us who are struggling today, let us remind ourselves that keep the prize ahead of us and keep on struggling, because I think that's what makes us, earlier you said, are we paused or wailed? I think that's what makes us human, is to have that vision and that hope, and which, for me at least, allow us to continue striving for a better future.
Well, thank you both for your comments on that. I think, obviously, that we need to keep struggling. There's no doubt about that. But even if you go, I'm not only talking about Biden, but if you go down to Merkley and Blumenauer and even down to Alyssa Kinney Geyer, we got sold out locally. We got preempted, so there's no rent control. The vacancy control is a mess. There's, whenever our representatives have to do something, the first thing they do is they invite the business community to make sure they're the right partners. And the last thing they do is to invite the people that are impacted by those policies. And rather than vote for someone that we're going to have to fight against, as soon as they get in power, we should be voting for people who represent what we need so that we can support their efforts rather than try and push them to get a crumb or two.
So let me ask you, how do we do that? Why do we settle for second best rather than push for those who we really believe in?
Well, I think to be involved in politics, to go to political meetings, to find candidates that represent us and help support them at the start, I think that's a difficult process, but we need to do more of that. I think we don't always have to be Democrats or Republicans. There's a new party forming. They're coming up with a name, the Movement for People's Party, with Danny Glover is one of the key people trying to push that, is to say, if you can't represent us, we'll find a party that will. There's the Green Party, the Independent Party, the Working People's Party. There's a lot of ways that we can get candidates on the ballot that support a more progressive agenda, or let's say a more humanistic agenda, or a more inclusive agenda, or a racial equality agenda. But we need to be able to vote for those people and not be afraid to vote for people that are not in the mainstream.
Well, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And thank you all for everything you do.
All righty. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Now, we're down to only 5 minutes, so, you know, this is kind of a rhetorical request, but I didn't hear from the women, and I'm glad the guys are calling, but women, please do represent us now. Come on, you know, because I know we have some ideas, but, you know, we're down to, what is it, 4 minutes, so it's moot, but I just wanted to remind, you know, all the females of the world, don't forget you can call in too, you know, empower yourself. But I have really appreciated the conversation, though, nonetheless. Been some good calls. And I noticed nobody wanted to call in and share why they were not, why they were not staying home. And that's okay. I respect your choice, nonetheless.
Maybe because our listeners are all staying home.
That could be, you know, which means then we could all be at home alone together.
home alone now, and next holiday, you can be home together with folks you love.
There you go. But we want to thank everybody who has called, and we want to thank everybody who is listening, even if you didn't call. Because this is your community connection. This is your radio station, KBOO. And when I say your radio station, here's what I mean. You support it. You make sure that folks are here to exchange ideas on community. And when you support us financially, you keep us strong and you help us stay connected. It's a mutual benefit relationship. So if you are able, please do support your community connection, KBOO, by going online to kboo.fm/give. And you keep us strong and you keep us on the air, and we thank you. Stay tuned, because coming up at 9 o'clock is the Old Mole Variety Hour, and then so much more. And we want to remind you as we go out that, you know, as long as we're working this out together, we're going to figure it out. We'll catch you next week.
Now what we're going through is trying for a brighter day. And all this confusion too, we'll clear it for a better way. Day to day we seem perplexed in search of some direction. I'm astounded and I'm vexed from telling we need protection.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m. Next up is the Old Mole Variety Hour.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.